Today we are continuing our study of the I Am sayings of Jesus. Jesus reveals himself in these I Am sayings. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus tells his followers, "I am the good shepherd." As our shepherd, Jesus loves us, guides us, and protects us. This passage not only describes the relationship that Jesus has with us, the sheep, and our relationship with Jesus, but also the deep relationship that Jesus has with the Father, with whom we have a relationship through Jesus. When Jesus describes himself using the phrase, "I am," he reminds listeners of God's response to Moses when Moses asked God's name, and God replied, "I am. I am who I am." According to John Goldingay, an Old Testament scholar, "I am who I am" also means, "I will be who you need me to be." Dear friends, we need a good shepherd. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings you shower upon us, especially your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage to draw closer to you, to be assured that Jesus is our good shepherd, and to follow him. Amen. The passage begins with Jesus saying, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber." Now, in first century Israel, sheep pens were constructed connected to the shepherd's home, and so often a person functioned as the gate, leaning on the wall of the home and kind of leaning diagonally, if you will, to block intruders and to protect the sheep. It helps to have this image in mind to understand when Jesus says, "I am the gate." Jesus is contrasting someone who faithfully protects the sheep from the thieves and the robbers who sneak over the wall. He goes on to say, "But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." The one who enters through the gate has authority, is the shepherd. Jesus has authority. And of course, his authority comes from God the Father. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep recognize the voice of the good shepherd. The shepherd calls the sheep by name. This is a deep and intimate relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Dear friends, Jesus knows our names and calls us by name. In the Jewish culture at the time, you didn't tell people your name unless you trusted them and you wanted to have a relationship with them. So knowing the name is a bit more meaningful than today, where you can just Google on the internet and try and find all sorts of things about people because you have their name. This is very much of a deep, intimate relationship. The good shepherd leads them out. The gate serves as a means of entering the sheep pen for safety and exiting to pastures. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. The sheep follow, knowing the voice of the shepherd. May we spend time in prayer and worship to hear the voice of our good shepherd. Sometimes the voice of God is a soft, gentle whisper. We must be still to hear it. Shepherds lead the sheep rather than driving them through fear and manipulation as cowboys drive cattle. This is a trusting relationship rather than a fear-based relationship. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. The gate, again, it offers protection. And the gate through which the sheep access the pasture, the way to the pasture. Jesus will later describe himself in chapter 14 as the way, the truth, and the life. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. Salvation is through Jesus. We know that. And Jesus is saying, those who come in through the gate will be saved. The sheep will find good pastures through the gate. In John chapter 6, verse 35, as we studied a couple weeks ago, Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. He said, whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Good pastures have food and water for the sheep, and the shepherd knows where the food and water is for the sheep. We know this. And again, Jesus is telling the people listening that he will meet their needs. Jesus meets our needs. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The thief wants to kill, steal, destroy. But Jesus wants to give us rich and satisfying lives. We have abundant life through Jesus, not in the future, but now. We can have the love, the joy, and the peace today through Jesus. We have abundant life. Now, we may think of the thief as Satan or evil forces, and that is true. But Jesus may also be referring to the religious leaders who oppose him. For example, healing the blind man on the Sabbath in the passage we studied last Sunday. This makes them functioning as thieves and contrary to where Jesus and what God wants. The Good Shepherd cares for the sheep, healing them. Jesus offers healing, whether it's on Sabbath or any other day. He also healed a man at the pool. We studied that about a month ago. And the religious leaders were very concerned that he was breaking the rules and healing on the Sabbath. But the Good Shepherd cares, heals. The religious leaders seem to care more about their understanding of the law. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. Now, before we continue thinking about that, I'd like to pause and contemplate what would the hearers 2,000 years ago had thought of with the image of shepherd. Well, they definitely could think about scripture where shepherds represented the king, the leader, and sometimes God. One of the most famous and loved references to God as the shepherd is the 23rd Psalm, which we will sing right after this sermon. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. However, in that time, Jesus' listeners knew that shepherds were not respected. They were viewed by the people of Israel as common thieves. They were not allowed to give testimony in court, and they couldn't take part in the ceremonial sacrifice in the temple because they were unclean. I mean, they were required to be with the sheep at all time, so they were ritually unclean. It's ironic that the lambs that they are tending to, and they will be sacrificed, they can't participate in that worship. So what kind of shepherd do you think Jesus is referring to? I believe he's referring to both. As the Good Shepherd, he is reminding his listeners of the scriptural references to God and God's leadership. And he's also embracing those who are marginalized. The term good, when Jesus says, I'm the Good Shepherd, that translates also to model or true. And this term reinforces the perspective that the model shepherd is God who cares for the sheep. And that's described in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. In Ezekiel, God cares for the sheep by rescuing them from the places to which they've been scattered, feeding them, tending to the weak and injured, and seeking the lost. In Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7, Jesus describes a shepherd that leaves the flock of 99 sheep to seek the one lost sheep. When the shepherd in this story finds the sheep, the shepherd carefully returns the lost sheep to the flock and rejoices. Personally, I love this passage, knowing that our Lord and Savior will seek us when we've gone astray and bring us back. This image of Jesus offers comfort when we are concerned about the well-being of our family and friends who wander and go astray. We are assured that Jesus will seek them and lovingly care for them, and so we can entrust those for whom we are concerned to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus continues saying, "The Good Shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." Now, the image that Jesus uses to describe himself as the Good Shepherd extends beyond the traditional imagery of shepherds. The job of being a shepherd was dangerous, but shepherds were generally not willingly laying their lives down for the flock. When a shepherd died defending the sheep, it was by accident. It was not intentional. Shepherds lived for their flocks, yet dying for the sake of the flock was Jesus' intent. In Zechariah chapter 13, the prophet speaks of the death of the shepherd required to purify the flock, and this is a prophecy of the Messiah. We understand that Jesus is referring to his own imminent death when he speaks of the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Jesus leads the way to life because he lays down his life. His death purifies the flock, purifies us. Jesus continues, "A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep." So Jesus is contrasting the good shepherd with the hired hand. Now, the hired hand is not necessarily evil, just a wage earner who doesn't care about the sheep, and is more concerned about his well-being at the expense of the flock. Consequently, the flock is scattered and devoured. Jewish tradition specified that it's the legal responsibility of a hired shepherd to defend the flock if it's attacked by one wolf, but two? No, that's an unavoidable accident with no fault associated with the loss from the attack. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep." Jesus states that the good shepherd knows his own sheep, and they know him. Jesus describes the relationship of the good shepherd with the sheep. And again, this is an intimate relationship. It is compared with the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Jesus, as the good shepherd, has a relationship with the sheep because he has a relationship with the Father. And as sheep, we have relationship with Jesus, our good shepherd, and with the Father through Jesus. We also have a relationship with each other as part of the flock. Take a moment, look around you. We're the flock. We are the sheep. And we are in relationship to each other. We might not have ever met each other anywhere were it not for coming together to worship here in church. And that gives us a special bond. Since Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, he is describing his identity as inherently linked with the sheep, the faith community that follows him. He can't be a shepherd without sheep. And so that is Jesus saying that part of his identity is with the flock. That, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel incredibly blessed to think that Jesus is saying part of his identity. I mean, his identity is definitely with the Father. the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he is also identifying that part of his identity is with the flock. Jesus lays down his life, not only for the sake of the sheep, but also because of his relationship with the Father. As John 3:16 indicates, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is affirming this verse by acknowledging that he will lay down his life for the sake of the sheep. He goes on to say, "I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." When Jesus speaks of other sheep, confirming God's flock is not limited to the sheep of Israel. And by stating, "I have other sheep," it is clear that the other sheep already belong to Jesus. He implies that the spiritual community that will be created after his death will extend beyond Israel, which is part of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as recorded in Genesis. In Genesis, God promises Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." Blessings from the Messiah would not be limited to Israel. And so Jesus fulfills God's promises to bless the Gentiles. Next week, we will be benefiting our missionaries who are scattered in various places throughout the world. That's part of God's perfect plan. That goes back to the beginning of the book, Genesis. God's plan has always been throughout the world. That's what John 3:16 says. That's what Jesus is referring to when he talks about other sheep, other flocks will become one flock. And the sign of this expanded flock is that they will listen to my voice. Unlike the Pharisees and scribes who didn't listen to Jesus' voice, who did not choose to know him. Dear friends, do we listen to Jesus' voice? It's too easy to have our prayer lives become this monologue of reciting our concerns. So let us take time to have silence and solitude so that we may hear the voice of our good shepherd. Jesus' description of the united flock aligns again with Ezekiel 34. "You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God." "The Father loves me," Jesus continues, "because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take it from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." Here Jesus stops using the metaphor of shepherd and is speaking directly about himself, about his imminent death and his relationship with God the Father. Jesus again reinforces that his death is in context with his relationship with God. And in this verse, Jesus' death is connected with love, God's love for the world and for Jesus. And so Jesus is obeying God's commandment to live in love. Now, it's wrong to understand this verse as indicating that Jesus earns the Father's love because he lays down his life. Rather, his death, it's the ultimate expression of the love relationship that already exists, defining who he is and how he enacts God's will for the world. After all, God is full of unfailing love rather than conditional love. Jesus is free to choose to lay down his life in obedience to the Father and as part of his love for the Father. Jesus isn't a victim, but rather has authority over his death. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Week, let us remember with gratitude that Jesus willingly chose to die on the cross for us. These verses also point to the resurrection and its inseparability from his death. When Jesus speaks of his authority over his death and resurrection, and these verses support the complete union of God the Father and the Son, and God's perfect plans for the redemption of creation. So we know that Jesus is the good shepherd who lovingly cares for the sheep and lays down his life for the sake of the sheep. We are the sheep. As the psalmist stated in Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture." All of us are sheep in relationship to Jesus and to the Father. Listening to the voice of Jesus gives us unity with sheep and others in the flock. We are part of the flock through Jesus' gift of life. Jesus calls us to live in the mutuality of love, as demonstrated in the relationship between Jesus and God. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Help us to follow Jesus, our good shepherd, and acknowledge that we are his sheep in gratitude and humility. Help us to welcome the other sheep of the flock, the faith community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.